Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. It's about time. It's about time. If I can draw your attention to Psalm 90, verse 12, I don't know how familiar you are with that passage where Moses says, well, God, teach us to number our days. The NIV says, teach us to number our days aright, or teach us to number our days correctly so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Have you ever lost track of time? Ever lost track of time? You just, something was so good, you just got caught up. You got into a conversation, you got caught up, and time just somehow got away from you. Time can get away from you because of how amazing a moment is. Time can get away from you because you're happy. Time can get away from you because you're a little bit annoyed. Time can get away from you because you're mad. It's actually possible to lose track of time and for time to get away from you because you thought you had more time than you did. Or you got up and you had extra time. You had extra time. I mean, it's first Sunday in November and we just fell back. We just gained an hour. Anybody still a little tired? We all just gained an hour and we still need more time. It's possible that you can get up at 9, have to be somewhere at 12, and because you got up at 9, you feel like you have more time and you still end up late. Because almost the extra time makes you lose track of time. It's absolutely possible for you to lose track of time. And it just makes me ask a question. I've been asking it for the last several weeks now. And that is, well, what time is it? What time is it? That actually used to be a question. What time is it? I remember it was a question because when I was young, a child especially, nobody had a watch. There were no phones. We told time by the streetlights. I was raised in the inner city. I had to be on the porch when the streetlights came on because nobody had a watch. In our immaturity, we didn't really know what time it was. There was a question of the time. Today's the first Sunday in November, and I know that God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and he lives outside of time. It's one of the things that's so wonderful about God, but he lives outside of time, but we don't. We live in time. This is first Sunday in November. 2021 is almost over. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Just because I've got a relationship with God, and I do, just because I love him and he loves me, doesn't mean that time isn't a factor. Time isn't something that we have to be aware of. That it doesn't mean that it's not about time. What time is it? And does time matter to you? There's something about getting a little bit older where you start thinking about time. When you're a baby, you don't think about time. When you're immature, you don't think about time. But get some old on you and you start thinking about time. You start thinking about how much time you have left. You start thinking about how much time you wasted. We hear Moses pray this prayer, and it's in the Psalms where he says, well, Lord, teach us to number our days aright. Teach us to number our days. We ask God to teach us a lot of stuff. How often do we ask God to teach us what is the accurate number of our days? Teach us how long we got. Teach us what to do at this moment in light of how much time I have left and how much time is behind me. Teach me time. Teach me timing. teach me to be in the right moment, in the right season. Teach me to be ready when the opportunity presents itself. And all of the things that I want you to teach me, God, teach us to number our days correctly so that wisdom will be something that we will gain. Teach us to know what time it is. Teach us the proper number of our days because, and I'll throw this on the screens, the Lord said it to me, because eternity requires maturity. I know that we all just are looking forward to eternity. We even admire folk who live forever. There's a movie out right now, I haven't seen it yet, called The Eternals, is that what it's called, The Eternals? Folks who've just been on the planet forever. It's a nice idea. I think to myself, what would I do if I just had forever? What would I do if I just had all the time in the world? You might think it was, I don't know. I feel like if I had all the time in the world, my God, I didn't have all the time in the world, and I've already wasted time. I didn't have all the time in the world, and I still spent a little longer being immature than I probably should have. I knew I had at best 80, 90, maybe 100 years on the planet, and I still did things that were a waste of time. My God. Let alone if I had 500 years. Let alone if I had 1,000 years. It's a nice idea of eternity on the earth, and when you look at whatever it is, whether it's that movie or vampires or whatever, the idea of living forever is nice. I just wonder how well we would manage it. Perhaps this moment in limited time is here to mature us to be prepared for eternity. Perhaps eternity won't be such a benefit to you if you're still immature. Perhaps a part of what time having a beginning and an end to it is about is perhaps it's about the fact that you're not ready for forever if you can't handle a limited time. Perhaps we are so busy looking forward to heaven, and certainly I am, but perhaps a part of what qualifies us to actually walk in eternity is what we did with a limited amount of time. That it's about time. Paul agrees. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, well then, see then that you walk circumspectly. See then that you make the most. See then that you're careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Taking the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That word evil there is a Greek word, poneros. I wish they hadn't said evil, because it makes us think about the evil of the time. And certainly these are some evil times. We are living in some times that have evil in it, but beloved, every time got some evil in it. Every generation wants to act like this generation is more evil than the last generation. Every generation got some evil. Every generation got heathens. Every generation got sin in it. Every generation do wrong. Saying redeem the time because the days are evil. Poneros, evil. Another way to translate that word is that the days are full of labor. Poneros can also mean laborious. In other words, hard. We have to be careful how we live, not as unwise as wise. We have to redeem the time because these are some hard days. Days are full of work. Days are full of labor. Days are full of stress. Days are full of difficulty. Days are full of hardship. In the real world, time in life can be tough. You got to make the most of every opportunity because Most of us, our days are not just full of joy all day. There's challenges during the day. There's difficulties during the day. There's stuff we got to deal with during the day. There's people we don't like. The life that we live is full of labor. It's full of work. Paul is saying, yeah, so we really have to walk circumspectly and be careful because the time that we have, they're tough times. Times are bad. I can remember to myself time when I was just reckless. I know I'm not the only one who really shouldn't be here. I need a witness in the building. You should be dead. Can I get a witness? You should be dead. You was doing something, you should be dead. You rode your bike, you should be dead. You didn't, somebody about to kill, you was at the party, then you should not be here. And somehow God spared your life. And Paul is saying, yeah, I want you to number your days aright. I want you to walk circumspectly and be careful about the time because the days are evil, because it's absolutely possible for it to be too late. It's about time. He says to redeem the time. It's about time. To redeem the time. My God, I'm trying to redeem the time. Redeem the time means I'm trying to buy it back. Redeem the time means I'm trying to make the most of every moment I have left. I am aware that I am not going to be here forever. It don't matter how much kale. I know I got on kale last week. It don't matter how much kale. It don't matter how much water you drink. You're not going to be here forever. And so when you become aware of God and aware of the wisdom of God, and you can't be aware of the anointing of God and not be aware of the timing of God. And not be aware of the timing of life. So if time is a factor, then we have to redeem the time. To redeem the time also means that I want to put more years on the end. I'm going to speak that over everybody. I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to put more years on the end. Lord, I'm going to take care of myself, and I'm going to drink water, and I want to get as much out of my time as I can, and I'm believing that you'll keep me young longer because I got more work to do, and there's stuff that I want to do, and I might have wasted some time in the beginning, but my God, restore my youth to me, and Lord, give me more time, and give me some time on the end. Let me redeem the time because the days are full of labor. It's about time, meaning that we readjust time. That's what we did. It's so funny to me how we spring forward and forget, but we remember to fall back. All of us with watches had to reset our watch. You could make an argument that there may be a time when this whole falling forward and springing forward and falling back thing may not even be anything that anybody is thinking about. Chances are the millennials and the Z's in here don't even hardly think about it because all of their time is digital already. Almost none of them had to. So those of us with watches had to actually set a watch back. Most of them, you don't have to worry. Their alarm is on their phone. But there are times when you have to readjust time. You're in a different time zone. You go to a different country. You're in a different moment. And the times have changed. And one of the worst things that can happen to any of us is for us not to readjust time. For it to be 3 o'clock, but we acting like it's noon. For us to not take advantage of the season and to readjust time. 1 Corinthians 7, real quick. I got somebody. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29, I'll throw it on the screens. Paul says, but I say this, brethren, the time is short. So from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who's buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. Paul is saying that it may be possible that there may be events that take place that may cause you to readjust how you perceive time, how you perceive where you are. You're immature. I'm immature. If I can't read the signs of the times, if I can't look and see what's happening with this country or the world or the moment, if I'm so head in the clouds that I'm no earthly good and I'm not able to readjust to the time. Paul is saying, well, the time is short. Well, you found out you don't have as much time as you thought. You found out that time wasn't quite what you thought it was. And so now you're going to have to act differently because you made an adjustment to time. And number three is to respect time. Time is a law. Time is a law. I said this last Sunday, time is the one thing that I absolutely can guarantee. I can't guarantee success to you. I believe God for your success. I can't guarantee it. I can't guarantee success. I can't guarantee blessing. I believe blessing and pray blessing over you, but I can't guarantee it. I can't guarantee love. I can't guarantee joy. Certainly can believe God for it, but I can guarantee that it's going to be 12 o'clock in half an hour. I guarantee that it's getting cold. I guarantee that time waits for no person. I absolutely can guarantee you that time will move on. And it is unwise for us to believe that because we have an eternal relationship with God, that we don't need to be aware of the timing in the earth. Am I making my point? That it is about time. It's not, and it is, that surely God is able, but that doesn't excuse a total awareness of what time it is. Time is guaranteed. The wisest man to ever live, Solomon, writes in Ecclesiastes, and I read it already. He says, there's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. No matter how much Holy Ghost I've got, there's a time for stuff. No matter how much praying I do, there's a season for things. No matter how much I go to church, there's still a time and a season. And for every purpose under heaven, as much as God's power is established, so is time. And a part of my gaining wisdom is me being right about the time of it. Very often I'm praying, God, let me be in the right time. My God, Lord, let me be in the right moment. Lord, I don't want to be ahead of God. I don't want to be behind God. I want to be prepared when God moves. I want to be aware of what time it is. There are so many times I can look back and I can be frustrated because I missed an opportunity because I was not ready when the door opened. And I do have to be prepared for the fact that there are times and seasons. And when I look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I see it that the writer is saying, in all of this, there's a time to be born and a time to die and a time to plant, time to uproot, time to kill, time to heal, time to tear down, time to build, time to weep, time to laugh, time to mourn, time to dance, time to scatter stones, time to gather them, time to embrace, time to stop hugging. Time to search, time to give up, time to keep, time to throw away, time to tear, time to mend, time to be silent, time to speak, time to love, time to hate, time for war, time for peace. The writer is saying, listen, in all of your getting, get an understanding. Still gonna have to have an understanding of seasons and time. Teach us to number our days aright, so that we can gain this heart of wisdom, so that we can actually be in the right moment, in the right time, and prepared for the right time. My prayer for you and for me is that we will make the most of every opportunity because the days are full of labor. My prayer is that in all of this getting and all of this power and all of this presence, the Holy Ghost will talk to you even now and give you a vision and help you to know so that you will be prepared before the time happens. Because the worst thing, my God, one of the worst things is for there to be an opportunity and I'm not prepared for it. And the biggest regrets in my life is I just wasn't ready. And I wasted time. And now I'm saying, Lord, give me more time. God, give me more days. God, give me a few more years. God, I trust you're not done with me. My God, teach me to number my days aright so I can gain the heart of wisdom. When I look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I basically see some seasons here, and I want to share them with you. I'll throw them on the screens, and I pray for you and let you go. I got about 19 minutes, and I'm going to share this with you and let you go. The first season that I see, and there's a certain number, and if you know me well, you know that there's a number how many it is, but I won't tell you. But there's a certain number that I see here, a number of seasons that are described here in all of these verses, verses 1 through 8. The first one, number one, is that there's a season of new. There's a time for birth. There's a time to plant. There's a time to build. We dedicated babies today. All these women that had these babies within the time of having them, because there's a time to have babies and there's a time to not have them. Help us, Holy Ghost. Time to have them, and there's a time not to have them. There's a time to have a two-year-old, and there's a time to not have one. There is a time to plant. There is a season in which it is time to plant. And if you don't plant in the right season, then you won't harvest at the right season. Certainly I want harvest, but if I want harvest, then I gotta plant at the right time. So right now, my prayer for you and for me is that I can retire when it's time to retire. I wish you had a witness in the building. I don't know if you've ever been in a Walmart or in a store and saw somebody really old or someone with gray hair or someone that looked like you, and they're working and they're handing you stuff. I always think to myself, I hope you're working because you want to work and not working because you have to work. Because there is a time for you to start getting your retirement plan together. Oh, I speak it over the whole room. As much prayer and Holy Ghost as you've got, you better have some kind of plan. And a part of the reason why I'm preaching like this is because I was raised by the people that told us, you take care of God's business, and he'll take care of you. And the truth of the matter is that a lot of those people died broke. Talk to me, Pastor. They died broke. They died naive, waiting for a ship to come in. But you better be planting. I'm telling you right now, you better be stowing away in barns. I need a witness in the building. You better be reading. You better be watching videos. You better get you some Bitcoin while the Bitcoining is good. You better start mining something. You better start doing something. You're not going to be young forever. You're not going to be flexible forever. I know you're not. One of these days, them knees going to start clicking. Don't make me call you. Your knees going to click. One of these days, somebody going to pass you a ball, and you're going to say, no, thank you. Somebody said that to me the other day. Pastor Andy, you still look like you can ball. You still look like you can ball. I said, let me tell you something. Don't let this black don't crack fool you, okay? These knees is 53. The devil is a liar. I get about that high off the ground. What I'm saying is there is a time and you can miss it. Time to plant. There's a time for building. The second season is that there's a time to search. He says there's a time to search and there's a time to give up. There's a time for faith. There's a time to believe in the invisible. There's almost nothing worse than being in a moment when you should believe for the invisible and you won't. Almost every time I talk to somebody in their mid-30s, I say to them, well, if there's ever a time for you to start your own thing, it's now. Because even if you lose, you still have tons of time to recover if it don't work. This is a search time. This is a belief in the invisible time, because it can be scary believing in the invisible when you're 70. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. When you're 70, you want the ground to be a little bit more steady. When you're 70, you want to know that your bills is paid. Shoot, when you're 50. But there is a time to search. There's a time to try something new. There's a time to walk by faith and not by sight. I know that we just love to think that faith will work at any moment, and I'm not saying it won't, but I'm just telling you, it's a lot easier to walk by faith when you have time down. When I started World Overcomers, I was 34 when I started this church. I was in my early 30s. I was in Boston, I was working for my daddy, then I went to Oklahoma, I was working for Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson wanted me to take his church over. My daddy wanted me to take his church over. Carlton Pearson wanted me to live in Tulsa and take his church over. But I was in my early 30s, and I was thinking, I'm 10 years away. Let me tell you what I thought. I thought, if I take over your church, nobody gonna really respect me for at least 10 years. That's what I thought. No one's going to really take me seriously for 10 years. So if it's going to take 10 years and I'm 32, 33, well, I might as well step out and move to someplace I don't know nobody. I came to North Carolina when I was in my early 30s. I was a baby. I didn't know nobody. I didn't know none of y'all. Didn't none of y'all know me? I didn't care, because I was young and my babies were young. My children were young. My daughters were young. My sons were young. They didn't know we were broke. They don't know you're broke till they're a teenager. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness. When they're 14, they're like, we ain't got no money. But when they're 6, they have no clue. What I'm saying is there was a time to search and a time to believe in the invisible, a time to gather, a time to heal, time to mend. Number 3, there's a time for death. There's a time for it to end. I know we don't like to think about that, but sometimes it's just time to shut it down. It's time to just stop. It's time to say, well, this is the end of that season. This is the end of that moment. I don't have forever. I'm going to give it a certain amount of time. I'm going to dig it. I'm going to dung it. And I'm going to see if it's going to produce. And if it doesn't produce, I'm going to cut it down. There's a time to be born, but there's also a time to die. We only want birth. I get it. I understand. We only want birth. We celebrate birthdays. And we dedicate babies. And we cry at funerals. But death is the destiny of every person. And death is a door. And sometimes the death is what brings life. And the word says that we should mourn as those who have no hope, because death has no sting. The grave has no victory. The sting of death is sin, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't just apply to just our lives and going to heaven. That also applies to the end of a thing. Sometimes the end of a thing is what opens up a door for something new. Sometimes you can't get to new and better still hanging on to the old thing that's dead. I wish I had a witness in the building. I was in a meeting with a bunch of powerful money-making CEOs, and somebody asked the CEO, millionaire guy, what's the most important thing to understand about business? And he said, there's two extremely important things to understand about business. Number 1 is to know what's next. to have your eyes above what's now and to be focused on what's next. And then number two, to be prepared for what you're going to stop doing now so that you can do what's next. Because you can't do this and that. At some point at World Overcomers, we had to stop making tapes. Anybody remember tapes? Oh, young people, there was this thing called cassette tapes. Had a piece of paper on it that said what the sermon was, with a little ribbon in there. You start off making tapes. You start off, then you move to CDs. Oh, we was popping when we had a CD. But, woo, we was like, oh, yeah, we selling CDs, baby. No more tapes, CDs. DVDs. Woo, anybody remember DVDs? I have an iPod. See how nobody waved their hand? I have an iPod. My iPods still work. Problem is that technology has moved on. And at some point, Apple just started saying, well, we're not fixing iPods anymore. We're not doing them. We're not making them. We're not fixing them. Everybody listen to music on their phone. Ooh, we got something new. We got Apple Music, and we're going to make you pay monthly for music you could own. But anyway, and so now we're definitely not fixing your iPod. They made a decision that they weren't going to keep doing what they were doing. If you're not careful, that'll be you. That'll be me. I know I'm not the only one that remembers Blockbuster Video. Boy, I love me some Blockbuster Video. I guess I'm only, I got some old folks. I love Blockbuster Video. Walking through with my card, smelling the rug and the popcorn. Renting a VHS tape that you had to rewind before you brought it back. Don't make me call you out. Because if you didn't rewind it, they charged you more. Oh, Jesus. You about to take them back. You looking for the case. Come on, talk to me, talk to me. And you're asking, did you rewind it? Did you rewind it? That's $2. Young folk are saying, rewind? Number four, there's a time to work. Say, there's a time to weep. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to be serious. There's a time to work hard. There's a time to gather stones. There's a time to scatter stones. There's a time for focus. It's a time to be serious. It's not always time to smile. Sometimes folks say to me, Pastor, you seem so serious. I'm like, well, this is work time. 27, it's work time. It's not time to chill. You're 35, it's work time. You're 41, it's work time. You're 53, it's work time. It's time to work. Time to get as far ahead as you possibly can. Time to be focused. Time to be serious. Time to be about business. Time to gather your stones. Time to scatter your stones. Time to get your work done. But then balanced out, number five, it says that there's a time to laugh. There is a time to have fun. There is a time to rejoice. There is a time for joy. There is a time for dance. There is a time for vacation. There is a time to get away. Some of us were raised that it was almost heathen to have a good time. You gotta get all serious because the Holy Ghost, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, as if the other kinds of joy wasn't the right kind of joy. There's a time for joy. There's a time for parties. It's just not all the time. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to have a good time. There's a time for something fun. That fun time, that joy time, that laugh time, if you don't have that, you'll go crazy. You will lose your mind being serious all the time. You'll lose your mind being all about focus every minute. The reason why there's a Sabbath is for you to take a day and take a break. There's something to be said about a party. Even Jesus went to a party. See, I'm scared to share this too much because folks are like, go ahead, Pastor Andy, go ahead, Pastor. But the first miracle that Jesus did was at a party. You think they made him go to that wedding feast? A wedding feast is a party. Amen, light bulbs. Jesus was at the party. The party is popping. The party is bumping. The party is going. Jesus is there. The first miracle. I don't even really believe that it was translated properly. I'm going to get in trouble now. But the way the story is told to us is that Mary is saying they're out of wine, and then she goes to Jesus, and she says to Jesus, they're out of wine. And Jesus says, why are you troubling me, woman? That's in the past. Why are you troubling me, woman? And then she goes to the servant and says, do whatever he says. Like, I'm his mama. I'm going to make him do a miracle. I don't know if that's how it really was. My sense, sorry, I'll take liberties, is that they're at the party. It's going. Jesus is there. And Mary is upset because Mary clearly must be family. Otherwise, how would she know that they're out of wine? See, I got to stop now. I'm going to get in trouble now. All of us that were taught that it was really grape juice. No, it was not. How can you keep grape juice cold with no refrigeration? No, this is wine. See, I think Jesus said, what's wrong, Ma? What's troubling you? Why are you so troubled? And she said, they're out of wine. And Jesus said, I got it. And she said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to say thank you. Do whatever he says. See, y'all, it's all right. That's my Bible. That's Andy version. She said, thank you, Jesus. You may not have come when I want you, but you was always right on time. Thank you, Jesus. And so she went to the servant, and she said, do whatever he says. And then when he made wine, Jesus didn't just make wine. Jesus made good wine. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Folks is like, is the ABC store, is it still open? Pastor Andy's head. When they brought the wine to the master, he said, wow, normally what you do is you serve the good wine at the beginning. It's in your Bible. Then everybody's drunk. Then you bring out the cheap wine. Y'all save the best wine for the end. So Jesus didn't just make wine. He made good wine. I'm going to leave it alone. But most of y'all in here, don't act like y'all don't. I remember I used to be so thoughtful of it. And I went to the liquor store because I was getting some rum to make a cake. I told y'all this story. Buying some rum to make a cake. I'm trying to figure who can I send in there. Because they want you to avoid the appearance of evil. You know, you don't want to look like you're wrong. Who can I send and who will go for me? Finally, I just had to go myself. As I was going in the ABC store, somebody was coming out. Triple tuck. Saw Pastor Andy going in the liquor store. I saw them pull out their phone. Girl, I seen Pastor Andy in the liquor store. So I had to stand up and say, hey, everybody, if you saw me you heard I was at the liquor store. I was making a cake. Although it would seem to me that if you're coming out of the liquor store and I'm going into the liquor store, you mind your business, I'll mind mine. Keep it on the down low. Nobody has. How you gonna be mad at me? Anyway, my point is, Jesus is at a party with wine in it, and I leave it alone. There's a time for parties, and there's a time to not party. Number six, there's a time for love. There's a time to unite. There's a time to fit in. There's a time to be on a team. There's a time for this peace. And number seven, there's a time for war. There's a time to fight. There's a time to be separate. There's a time to hate. There's a time to not be popular. There's a time to not care whether or not you fit in with everybody. There's a time to find who your group is, and then there's a time to find who your enemy is. There's a time to unite together and be one people. And then there is a time to be prepared for the folk who are trying to tear your people down. Everybody's not going to like you. You got to like yourself. Put that on the screens. Everybody's not going to like you. You better like you. Everybody's not going to like you. You better like you. You better like y'all. Because there's a time for war, but there's also a time for peace. There's a time for peace, but there's also a time for war. There's a time for love, but there's a time for some anger. There's a time to battle. There's a time to fight. And I'm determined to be prepared when it's time. That we will redeem the time because the days are evil. Lord, teach us to number our days aright so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Lord, right now, as I stretch my hand to the room, as I stretch my hand to the cameras, as I stretch my hand around the world, God, I pray that our timing will be on point. That we will realize that time waits for no one, and that you want us in your timing. May our time come. And may we be prepared for it. May we gain a heart of wisdom in all of our getting. May we get an understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, if you heard a word from the Lord, put your hands together really quickly. Can I get you to give to the work of the kingdom of God before I let you go? Can I get you to give? If you need an offering envelope, you can simply raise your hand. One of the gatekeepers will come to you quickly and give you an offering envelope. And if you need to make a pledge, raise two hands. They'll give you a pledge card if you have yet to make a pledge. And this Victory Park, we are on our way out of this place. And it's time to make a change. And we're in the last 2 years of our lease here. It's time. We're about to build this building. It's time. The World Overcomers is 18 years old. All of those years we've leased spaces. Now it's time for us to own our own. It's time. At this point now, the lease costs for us are more than it will cost us to own. As a matter of fact, our ownership costs will be about half what it costs for us to lease space. It's time. If we ever needed you to be a part of it, it's now. It's time. If you've never made a pledge to a church before, we need you to make a pledge now. It's time. It's time. I'm asking you to make a pledge for a year or 2 years. It's on that card. I've asked people to pledge $5,000 or $10,000 or $2,000 or whatever it is that you can give to the Lord. It's time. And if you've made a pledge, we need you to pay on that pledge because it's time. If you're thinking, oh, well, they got so many people at this church, they don't need me, that's not true. We need you. We need you in this room. We need you who are watching around the world. You can help us. It's time. Help me fight. Help me fight. It's a time for war. It's a time to fight. It's a time to fight the good fight of faith. And that isn't just faith in yourself. It's faith in what we can do collectively. Can you say amen to that? It's time. Can I get you to give? At least, I've been asking for at least $10, at least $20, at least $30, at least $50. Whatever you can do above and beyond your tithes, it's time to give. I did a whole lot of fussing about that Popeye's chicken sandwich, but I had it this past week. See, I hadn't had it because I was mad. What a sandwich. I was like, on Sunday, I'm going to have to get up and say, let me tell you what. That sandwich was anointed. I bought two. with the spicy and the hot and it's crisp and the woo, Popeyes. When I looked in and I saw all the black folk in there, I said, this is about to be a good sandwich. This is about to be a good sandwich. But don't spend more money on a champ. Don't give more to a sandwich. Still making the point, even after I had that wonderful crispy, spicy sandwich with the pickles. Don't give more to a sandwich than you gave to the kingdom. You want to look up and see how much Popeyes made off that chicken sandwich? Hallelujah. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to be faithful? If we ever needed you to be faithful, it's now. This is a time. We have to seize this opportunity, beloved. We have to redeem the time because the days are evil. We just dedicated 9 babies. We are trying to secure the future of World Overcomers. Trying to build a building that's not dependent on tithes and offerings. Victory Park is a building that won't be dependent on tithes and offerings. Victory Park is a big sports complex place with a sanctuary in the middle of it. And there'll be practices and basketball tournaments in this division I have in which it will be generating income all of the time so that our children won't have to carry the weight of the church like we had to carry the weight of the church, but also so that the church can continue to be generational to every generation, because what happens is one generation begins to dominate the church, and then to keep that generation happy, we have to keep church the same. Church can't now become palatable to the next generation because you're still there. They gotta do church how you like it. Otherwise, you'll leave. So what we're trying to do right now is to build something not just for us, but build something that will be sustainable after we're not here. Can I get a witness in the building? Something that will impact the community greatly. Something that won't just be about a church, it'll be about kingdom. Lord, I want to thank you. Doing the best I can to lead your people. Doing the best I can, as frail as I am, to speak the word. We pray, God, that you'll take our words and that you will make them right. Where they may have been wrong, make them right. Take this word, take this moment, take this offering we're about to give. Someone's about to give the biggest offering they've ever given. Somebody's about to make a pledge bigger than they've ever made. Lord, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above. You are able to make us rich so that we can be generous on every occasion. I pray for every king, every queen, every business owner under the sound of my voice, not just in the room, but around the world. God, I pray that you double their business, triple their money. Lord, I pray that you take them to a whole nother level. I pray, God, that you'll make us the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, always at the top, never at the bottom. You know what's going on. You see what has happened to us. You know what's going on with our people. God, we pray that your glory would be revealed in us. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done in Jesus' name. We all sit together. God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes, just jump on your feet. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your generosity. It's not just about being generous. It's about being faithful. It's not just about being faithful. It's about being generous. About paying your tithes. That's about being faithful. And giving an offering above and beyond your tithes. That's your generosity. I thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your consistency. Thank you for being in service with us today. Thank you for watching with us around the world. Numbers higher than ever. Thank you. Thank you for coming to visit us with us today, even if it was just to see the baby dedicated. Thank you. Thank God he was with us today. It was so good for us to gather together. Jump on your feet. Let's pray. 12:05. Hallelujah. There's a reception immediately following this in the main lobby. Baby dedicated, children, families. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we want to thank you and praise you and honor you for what you said to us and the fact that we gathered together. What an awesome Sunday we had, first Sunday in November. Now, God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood. Bless the babies that we dedicated. Bless the babies that we didn't get a chance to dedicate. Bless everybody that's in the room. Strengthen everybody around the world. May favor be on us. Heal our bodies. Comfort our hearts. Comfort our minds. Bring us back, God, next Sunday. As we move forward in the anointing of God, as we walk by faith and not by sight, and God, we pray as we always pray. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We really do love you. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming to church with us today. God bless you. See you next Sunday.